Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you. Jack Thomason doesn't make many mistakes, but last week he let me forget that last week was the opening day of the baseball season.
I thought you had it, preacher.
How could we forget that last week was the opening day of baseball? And the objective of baseball is to get home safe. What's the objective? To get home
safe.
We're going to come back to that, I promise to you. This passage that John Davidson read so well is a deep one. It's rich, lots of meaning. I could probably preach 52 sermons off of this passage and still have some more to preach on. John, in his narrative here, messes us up a little bit. The way John normally tells the story is that Jesus performs the miracle. People observe that and they get to talk about it. And then Jesus gives us the meaning of the miracle, what it was all about. This passage is a little different in the fact that they talk about what's about to happen. Jesus gives them the meaning. Then he goes out and performs the miracle. Turned around just a little bit. So sometimes as we read this passage, we try to find the meaning perhaps after the miracle has been performed. And the meaning for us is in that center passage that John read. The meaning for us is in the idea that Jesus conveys where he turns into Martha and says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in me shall not die." Do you believe this? Martha's in the presence of Jesus, and she thinks she understands. And she says, "Yeah, I got it. I got it." And then promptly, when she has the chance, when Jesus goes down to the cave where Lazarus is buried and tells him to roll the stone away, she says, "Hold it, not so fast. Not so fast. Do you know what you're about to do?" She's talking to Jesus now. Jesus knows what he's about to do. Part of the nature of John, over and over again, is the fact that the people that are in dialogue with Jesus don't seem to understand. We have John 3, the story of Nicodemus, where Jesus says to him, "You must be born again from above." And he never quite gets it, never quite exactly understands it until much later. We clearly know in John 19 that he's part of the group that will help get Jesus into a tomb. So at some point in time, he does get it. We have the woman at the well, an outcast, someone who, by every stretch of the imagination, as when you compare her to Nicodemus, should not have gotten it. And just like Martha, she doesn't quite get it here, quite at the beginning, but quickly she moves to getting it, to understanding. Last week, I invited all of us to look around the congregation and see who wasn't here and invite them back this next week. How many did that this week? Okay. When I play golf with Skip Poole, he lets me have one mulligan every 18 holes. Okay, one mulligan's a do-over. All you get a mulligan. But next week, I want to see all those hands go up and say, "I've invited somebody back to Hilltop." Now, the easy, low-hanging fruit, by the way, is those that are part of our community that aren't here and you haven't seen for a little while. So target them for next week. And the next week, we're going to have some cards where you can invite people to join us for Easter Sunday. She, the lady at the well, the woman at the well, seems to eventually get it. And she goes out and passes the message of the Jesus story out. And here we have Martha, and John gives you a little bit of a prequel. This is Martha and Mary, who is the one who's going to anoint Jesus with the oil, which hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen in John 12. And who's going to be hanging out with Jesus at this event where they'll pour oil on Jesus' feet and they'll cleanse his feet with the hair of Mary? Lazarus! Lazarus! He's going to be there hanging out with Jesus. Jesus invites us to understand that when we perhaps die to the world of what Jesus sees as the world, or what we might see as the world, we have this chance to live again with a new idea, a new image, and we get to hang out with Jesus. John 10, Jesus will tell the disciples that I have come to give you life. And how have I come to give you life? I've come to give you life abundantly, overflowing. It's an opportunity for us to see that. As John Davidson indicated, this passage is a powerful one. It's a powerful one for us to be able to see the meaning that is here in this. We have a chance to see it in the idea of the fact that we could say, what is it about living water? This all of the living water that was talked about and more. It's a piece of living bread that we didn't get a chance to talk about in our review of John, but it's all of that and more. And John will talk about what it is to have eternal life, and it's all of that and more. It's this opportunity for us to be able to see light where there is darkness. I can't think of a darker thing than somebody dying, somebody passing away. Often when we talk about death, we do it at funerals, at memorial services. It's almost like we've let the subject of death only be a topic we talk about when we gather together to celebrate a life. The church needs to reclaim this idea of death. We need to reclaim the idea of death and understand that death should give us no fear. The earth holds no power that heaven cannot set aside. We just sang that a few minutes ago. Those words were composed after a tornado had blown through Enterprise, Alabama. The power of earth, the power of things that can happen here, hold no power over us. One writer would say that Jesus offers a vision of life to the believer in which his or her ways, days, do not need to be reckoned by the inevitable power of death, but instead by the irrevocable promise of life with God. The believer is invited to a vision of life in which one remains in the full presence of God during and after death. The physical reality of death is denied power over one's life with God, as is the metaphysical reality of death. I haven't used the word metaphysical in my whole 2 years here. How did I read that one? To paraphrase Paul in his letter to the church in Corinth, death has lost its sting. It's a chance for us to celebrate the fact that life is not defined by our death. We don't need to be in fear of death. Martha would say she understands that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, but she would then say, hold it, not so quick, not so quick. Don't roll away that stone. Don't you know what it's going to smell like if you do that? I love baseball. I like sharp transitions.
Sharp transitions.
Baseball. I've heard people say that beer is proof that God loves us. Maybe. I think there's possibility in that one. But I think baseball is really proof that God loves us. Think about it. The objective of the game is to get home safe. What Jesus is telling Martha is the objective of the game of life is to get home safe. To get home safe. And I, Jesus, am the resurrection and the life. We don't have to sit there and look at the prospect of death anymore and fear it. Rather, we can look at the prospect of death and we can say that it has no power over us. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to do that. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2 is an example of faith in action. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Martha, those that were there at this scene, they got to see it. They got to see this reality. And you and I have to take this action. Take this transformation. Take this change in our lives and take it on faith. Wow. And we do. And we do. And we do. Over and over and over again. We say that death no longer holds sway over us. Death has lost its sting. In the words of John Donne, death, be not proud. The second thing, though, for us is for us to step back and ask, how often are we in the story like Martha? To sit there and say, yeah, Jesus, I got it. I got it. You are the resurrection and the life. But don't roll away that stone too quickly. How often do we do that? How often do we behave as, make a statement of faith, and at the same time come back and have a chance to show that faith, and we behave like Martha. Hold it! Hold it! Hold it, Hilltop! Hold it, United Methodist Church! Hold it, Protestants! Hold it, Christians around the world! Don't roll that stone away too quickly, because if you do that, it's going to stink up the whole place. What does it say to us this first Sunday of April 2014? I think it says to us first that we're invited to know that death holds no victory over us, both in the now and in the future. It's a chance for us to die to this world and be like Lazarus, to die to this world and then go hang out with Jesus and give us life abundantly. That's the first message for us. The second message for us is a little more perhaps disturbing, a little more challenging, a little more confrontational. The invitation this Lenten journey to Jerusalem with Jesus is, when do we say one thing, confidence in who Jesus is, confidence that He is the resurrection, confidence that He is the life, and then live our lives as if we're afraid to let that stone be rolled away? Where is it for you? Where's the question for you in that? How is it that you might lead your life in such a way that you can show confidence that rolling that stone away is going to be part of leading to a life of confidence in the resurrection, of confidence of a life that is going to be after that death? How do you need to show that? That's the question for us on this Lenten journey. We, just like Nicodemus, we, just like the woman at the well, we, just like Martha here, seem to think we understand. We seem to think we've got it all down. We've got it all in one bag. Got it all tidy, wrapped up in one box. And just like Nicodemus, just like the woman at the well, just like Martha here, many of us, perhaps even all of us, don't always quite understand that journey to Jerusalem with Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we say that we want to journey to Jerusalem with you. Let us be able to see the victory over death that Jesus represents when he says that he is the resurrection and the life, and that those who die to this world and live in him have a chance to be able to live forever, both in the now abundantly and after we leave this world. Lord, we also ask that we accept the challenge that's placed before us of leading our lives in such a way that we are confident that when that tombstone is rolled away, life exists on the other side of that. Life with Jesus. A chance for us to experience that life in such a way that we can indeed say we have died to this world and been brought back to life in the new world, in Jesus' world, filled with grace. And all of God's children say, Amen. Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.